and he definitely does a really great job of taking that locked room mystery and then kind doing of something like, really interesting and unique and modern with it. So.
Kind of like And Then There Were None. Like you, there's only a certain amount of people at the place, and so you kind of tick it off in your brain who could possibly be there, who was around, and then I had to go back. After I figured it out, I had to go back and say, oh, I missed that completely.
So,
that's No Exit by Taylor Adams, and it's out in January.
We have some huge debut thrillers coming this winter, and again, they don't read like debuts, I guess I would say, but they're just fantastic, and the buzz, for especially for both Freefall and No Exit, is just, they're big time, so really exciting. Great, like cold weather, wrap yourself up.
I read it in the summer, and it cooled me off.
That's funny. Yeah, the marketing department here is really they're putting a lot of muscle into that one, like Lainey said, with that whole data be on the first chapter kind of thing, which is really cool. So check it out and see if you can take our dare. Okay, the Polar Bear Expedition. The Heroes of America's Forgotten Invasion of Russia, 1918 to 1919, by James Carl Nelson. So this is a story that not a lot of people know, even among, it's a World War I story, and even people who are big aficionados and experts who claim to know so much about World War I, a lot of them didn't know about this one. And again, we had recently done a presentation to librarians last month, and we presented this book, and we asked people if they had known about this, and indeed, nobody had. So this is about 5,000 U.S. soldiers. It's 1918, and they are, and most of them hail from Michigan, and they're going off to fight in World War One. They're sailing to Europe, and but instead of going to the Western Front, they're headed to Russia, to this this town that's 1,000 miles northeast of Moscow. So that's where they send them, in this frozen subarctic amid the chaos of the Russian Civil War. And it's, again, one of these episodes in American history that not a lot of people know about. So they call it the American North Russia Expeditionary Force, but they self-dub it the Polar Bear Expedition, and they were sent to fight the Red Army and aid the anti-Bolshevik forces in hopes of reopening the Eastern Front against Germany. So that's why they were sent there. At the war's end in November of 1918, so they go in August of 1918. The war ends in November of 1918, but they still stay. And they continue to battle this Red Army. And in addition to battling the army, they're battling winter. And it's horrific. And they're freezing. And they're dying. It's sub-zero temperatures. Their guns aren't working. Nothing's working. It's inoperable. They're blinding ice and snow. They're suffering from frostbite. And they don't withdraw until July of 2019. And when they do, over 200 of them had died, either from battle or accidents or the Spanish flu. It's strange that they're coming from Michigan. There's 5,000 of them, and they spend this little chunk of time there that not a lot of people know about. But 10 years later, a contingent of veterans returned to Russia to recover the remains of more than 100 of those fallen soldiers and laid them to rest in Michigan. And in Michigan, there's a monument honoring their service, and it still stands today. It's this massive marble bear, polar bear, that's guarding a cross that marks the grave of the fallen soldier. There are photographs. Again, you can go on Edelweiss and see some of them. There are 25 black and white photographs throughout. They are they're rough to look at. I mean, you get a real sense of, how cold it is there. Some picture of a man who's embedded in the snow, and he's gone, he's died. And you see their faces, you see the faces of these guys that are, they're together, and it's kind of haunting, actually, to see them there. And I think it's so sad. sad that so many people didn't even know about them and what they were doing there. But I think, you know, this is being published in time for the 100th anniversary of the expedition. It's the only historical instance of the U.S. and Russia squaring off in what they call a hot war. So, James Nelson is a terrific writer. He's done a terrific job here, and I encourage you all to pick this up when it comes out. And that is the Polar Bear Expedition, and it is the Heroes of America's Forgotten Invasion of Russia, 1918 to 1919, by James Carl Nelson. And it's out. It goes on sale February 2019.
Okay. So next is When You Read This by Mary Adkins, and when you read this, you're going to fall in love with it.
Nice.
This is one of my, I'm so excited about this book. It's such an interesting way to tell a story. So in this book, we follow a woman named Iris Massey, and she, it's nonlinear, so at the beginning we start and she has just found out that she has cancer, and she decides that she's going to write a blog and kind of pinpoint how she's feeling through all of this and write it all down, and then hopefully be able to answer some questions for other people going through it, or even just write her legacy down. But then, unfortunately, she passes away, and a new intern for her boss, Miss, the new intern, Carl, comes in and finds this book that she's put together of all of these blog entries, and he wants to turn it into a book because he finds a section where she says that's what she wants. So her ex-boss, Smith, who she was very close to, decides to make this happen. So he gets in touch with her sister, Jade, and is trying to convince her that this needs to be a book to make her legacy go on. And Jade is kind of dealing with grief in her own way, and she doesn't really want to do that for him. So it's just the back and forth between all of them. But it's really interesting because it's told through emails, blog posts, online therapy submissions, text messages, legal correspondence, home rental bookings, just other virtual lives and everything that they do on the computer. So it's strictly through this medium. And it's so fun to read because it's cut up in a way where you can just jump in and you know exactly who's talking and what's going on, but really showing kind of our personalities through our virtual lives. So there's a section of therapy sessions that Smith asks from his therapist, and she gives it to him, and you read all of her notes. So really you get an in-depth look at him without actually ever hearing from him. It's just things that someone has observed. And it's very, very cool. It really talks about the big questions in life, like what am I doing here? What am I doing with my last few days on Earth? And really the human condition of faced with some these big challenges, and then also face the challenges you put on yourself. Smith is kind of making life harder for himself, and he needs to learn from Iris. So I love this book so much. It was very sweet and sad, but also uplifting at the same time. If you're a fan of Maria Simple or Rainbow Rowell, this is a good book for you. But also you will fall in love with Carl the intern. He is hilarious, and he just makes all of these mistakes, but, laugh out loud funny. So, let's see, I have a quote. Adkins' debut novel is so much more than its clever style. I read it briskly with a permanent smile on my face, even when the tears were falling. Like a quasar, When We Read This feels miraculous and leaves a lasting impression long after its final moment. And that's Bell Emick, the author of The Reminders and Dear Evan Hansen, the novel. This is a special book. I'm really excited about it. And it comes out in February, so not too long. That's When You Read This by Mary Adkins.
Just to bring up Lee Reed again, so that voting process, it's usually whittled down each season to about three books that we really love, and then everyone votes on between those three. This was on the short list and had a lot of passionate supporters because it is seems like a very warm human
novel. It's unique,
too. Yeah, and it is unique.
I mean, it got my vote, so.
Oh, there we go. The truth comes out.
Truth is out.
So, I think that does also speak towards kind of its appeal, and yeah, it is a special novel. So, yeah, sorry to interject.
No, no, please.
Interject away.
Throw that tidbit in there.
All right. How we doing, Jennifer? Are we good?
Oh, you're good. You got loads of time. The more you talk, the less I have to.
All right. So the next book up is Late in the Day by Tessa Hadley. Tessa Hadley has written several novels and several collections of short stories. Her novels include Clever Girl and The Path. That was her most recent novel, which tripled her sales of the novel before that. It was a Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle Book of the Year, Huffington Post Best Fiction Book of the Year, New York Times Editor's Choice. She really hit her stride with The Past, and we think that Late in the Day, her newest, will do that and more. She really knows how to write, great characters, a great family settings, and interpersonal lives, and you know, no scratching the surfaces here with her. So this is about two couples that have been friends for 30 years, and one of them dies unexpectedly, and it just throws everything off. So when you learn about them, they had met, these two couples, Christine and Alex, and Lydia and Zachary. And they have known each other since, the two couples have known each other since their 20s. The women had been friends in childhood, as did the guys. And now they're in their 50s and they're still close, except that one night, Christine and Alex get a call from Lydia, and Zachary has died. And he was fine, and then he wasn't. He wasn't sick. It was completely unexpected. And they always said that he was kind of like the glue. He was the one, like, if any, like, he's the one that shouldn't have died, because he kind of kept them all together, and I don't know, they said he was a gentle force of nature. So in the aftermath, of course, they bond together, and in fact, Lydia goes to live with Christine and Alex, and so they all try and help each other. But you learn later that actually they had been paired with the other's partner earlier on. So it was actually in the early days, it was Lydia who was with Alex, and who was. He was married, but that wasn't working out, so she was in love with him, and Zachary was with Christine. But as they grew up, and they grew older, and they evolved, and it just turned out that actually they were good with the other person. So it all seemed to be okay. There was no animosity. There was no weirdness. It worked out. They grew up. But now one of them has died, and things are changing, and... there's a great quote from this. Kirkus gave it a starred review, and I just want to read the last line of this review. It says, a four-person character study. Here, as always, Hadley is a master of interpersonal dynamics. The novel captures the complexity of loss. Their grief is not only for Zachary, it is for the lives they thought they knew, restrained and tender. So if you are a fan of Ann Tyler or Alison Rowe, as always,
Hilary
Mantel or Lily King, Late in the Day by Tessa Hadley is definitely one that you should pick up. That goes on sale January 15th. But you know what? In the meantime, pick up The Past, her previous book, and start with that one. That one came out in January 15th and is obviously available. So that's Late in the Day, Tessa Hadley.
Okay. I will be talking about a new standalone psychological suspense novel from Sophie Hannah. We love Sophie Hannah here. We had the pleasure of meeting her a few years back for a librarian lunch. She is the author of 3 Agatha Christie Hercule Poirot novels, which are fully sanctioned by the Agatha Christie estate, which says a lot. They don't just hand over, you know, that property to anyone. They really believed in Sophie Hannah, and she's followed through. So she wrote The Monogram Murders, Closed Casket, and The Mystery of Three Quarters. Mystery of Three Quarters just came out this past August, so you can go check that out. But she also writes really great standalone psychological suspense novels not related to the Agatha Christie estate. So she wrote A Woman with a Secret, for example, and she also wrote Keep Her Safe and A Game for All the Family. So with this new novel, Sophie kind of does a twist with the serial killer genre. So we have this psychopath who's been, I like this nickname, the police have dubbed him Billy Deadmates. He's called that because he specifically targets best friends, killing them one by one. Pretty twisted stuff. And before he kills each victim, he gives them this small white book. And the police and detectives are desperate, of course, to get to the bottom of this. They don't really have very many leads until they stumble upon one, which adds a layer of complexity to the whole story. I won't ruin that for you. But the main central character in this is Kim, and she's a stand-up comedian, just a really great, smart, well-written character. Sophie's really funny, and she really writes the heck out of a comedian character. But Kim, despite being a comedian, is very much a loner. She doesn't really have any best friends. But a stranger at this one gig late one night hands her this white notebook, you know, the mark of the serial killer. And she doesn't know anything about this person. They disappear into the night, and she doesn't really think too much about it, but she has it. And then, you know, details about this case start to come about, and, you know, she's kind of thrown into, you know, questions, because, again, she doesn't have a best friend. Why would she be targeted by this serial killer who, you know, specifically targets those people? And what is this serial killer chasing, and who is this person? So it's, again, a great, pretty scary, you know, psychological thriller. I highly recommend fans of Gillian Flynn, Tana French, Ruth Ware. Again, I think just Sophie Hannah is such a smart thriller author, and I think despite all her success, I think this is a great step up for her. So this is coming February 19th. It's The Next to Die. I just want to read one quote from Leanne Moriarty, who knows something about thrillers. She says, "No one writes twisted, suspenseful novels quite like Sophie Hannah. Short and to the point." I highly recommend taking her word for it. And again, go check out, if you love Agatha Christie, you know, we had Murder on the Orient Express, that movie come out. You know, Agatha Christie just is not going away anytime soon. So go check out some of those new novels, and along with some of her standalones. They're all available. And yeah, we love Sophie. So, yes. And you know what? Actually, you all are in store for a lot of me. I have a couple more books to talk to you about in a row.
It's a Christopalooza.
We haven't made any noise with our sound machine.
Oh, we should make some noise.
Let's see.
Nice.
Yes. Christopalooza. Yeah, they're all thrillers, so that, I guess that is an appropriate sound effect. Let's see here. Jennifer, do you have a sound machine?
I don't.
Oh, isn't
we'll hook you up, girl.
Yep.
You didn't see it, but lightning just struck all around us.
Wait. Is there a lightning bolt? There isn't. But
there was one on...
Lightning?
I thought.
This is supposed to be more impulsive, but...
Bang.
Bang. Good.
Just surprise us.
Oh, no. That one doesn't work. Oh, Jennifer doesn't have a sound machine? Oh, that's... That was really cool. Sorry, that sound effect is yuck, so I thought it would just be like, yuck, not someone vomiting.
Jennifer doesn't have a sound machine?
There you go.
It's all highbrow here. next novel I'm going to talk about is The Border by Don Winslow. He's a New York Times bestselling author. This is the end of the Cartel trilogy. which was preceded by The Power of the Dog, and then The Cartel, and then finally The Border. Don's last novel was The Forest, which was a standalone cop novel. It was kind of an epic, sweeping novel. And, I mean, the reviews on that were, like, crazy. I'm looking for a good quote but, I mean, it made all the best of, best book of the year lists. Called a career-defining masterpiece by Booklist. But he returns again to the Cartel trilogy, which really centers on the drug war, the drug trade, and how, like, Mexico and U.S., how that relationship, which is far more complex and twisted than you'd imagine, how that plays out. Again, it's a novel. These books are novels, but Don, I feel like, knows this, the real-world drug trade probably better than just about anyone. And if you're unfamiliar with the series, back with Power of the Dog, you meet Art Keller, he's basically been on the front lines of America's war on drugs for, since it began. And then the longer he's been around, the more he sees it's not a black and white thing. It's not good versus evil. There's a lot at stake and a lot of power players and many you wouldn't expect. But really, Art's main mission in life has been to nail down the most lethal drug kingpin in Mexico, the godfather of the Sinaloa cartel, Aiden Barrera. Aiden Barrera is kind of like his
rival.
His ultimate rival, is the man he's been chasing his entire career. And he finally gets him. But what that does is it creates a vacuum, and as it happens, suddenly there's all new, in the place of this powerful drug boss, all these new guys flood in, and now he has a huge mess on his hands. And when he's chasing this, he finds, threads leading not only through, the Mexican government, but also the U.S. government and the DEA and, all this chaos and people whose stake in this war, again, is a little more twisted and diabolical than you would expect. And I say diabolical, it's not like some arch villain. It's all very nuanced and complex and fully thought out. I mean, I think many of you have probably heard about this trilogy, but I highly recommend you go check it out. It's, I think, the most defining, probably novel. These are the most defining novels on the drug war that exist. The Cartel, the previous one, is going to be developed into a film by Ridley Scott, 20th Century Fox. He did Gladiator, Blade Runner, Ridley Scott. And they're also 20th Century Fox is developing a film on The Force, which also deals with drug trade, but it's, again, more about New York City cops and some corruption there. It's a really great novel. But I think this Rolling Stone quote on The Cartel really places this trilogy nicely. A Game of Thrones of the Mexican drug wars, a multi-part, intricately plotted, blood-soaked epic that tells the story of how America's unquenchable appetite for illegal drugs has brought chaos to our southern neighbors and darkened our own political and criminal culture. I think they're mesmerizing. They're beautifully, not beautifully written, they're amazingly written. They're really propulsive, just smart, entertaining, page-turners. But just with all the depth of research and, the real-world facts and ugly truths behind the drug war and how it continues on. So go out, check out The Power of the Dog, the first one in the trilogy, The Cartel. He also wrote Savages, The Winter of Frankie Machine. He has a really rich backlist, 20 acclaimed award-winning international bestsellers, in fact. And then The Border, the finale to this, is going on sale February 26th. I could go on about Don Winslow. He's just, he's the man. He's acclaimed and just, I think, a definitive voice on this subject. So we're super excited. February 26th, The Border, Don Winslow.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay, and a different kind of thriller. We have a new novel by Greg Iles, who wrote the Natchez Burning trilogy. So, with Greg Iles, if you have not read him before, he's written these sweeping epics. The Natchez Burning trilogy is kind of a legal thriller, but it's much more than that. It also deals with, like, gangs. But this is, all of his take place in Mississippi, small town Mississippi. But they're just very beautifully, richly written, great characters. And I highly recommend. They're a New York Times bestseller. The last one in the trilogy, Mississippi Blood, actually was a number one New York Times bestseller. And then there's The Natchez Burning, which was number two on the list its first week, and The Bone Tree. So that's a really fantastic series. I think they're all available in mass market, so you can get them there or go to your local library. There's Greg himself. I've had the pleasure of meeting him. He came to the Texas Library Association conference, which we go to every year. I think he came last year. He's a very charismatic, obviously smart guy. Just a really, I call him a cool cat because he is. He's very cool, but very well-spoken, entertaining. So that brings me to Cemetery Road, which if you're intimidated by a giant trilogy or you're just not sure you're going to be into it, Cemetery Road is a standalone, so it's a great place to get started with Greg. It's coming in March, Cemetery Road also takes place in the South, Mississippi, and it follows this man, Marshall McEwen, who left his small Mississippi town. He was sick of it at age 18 and became one of the most successful journalists in Washington, D.C., you know, tracking politics, political corruption, all of that. But his father is dying, his mother, who runs the local newspaper there, is failing, so he returns home. And he returns to a town that's changed in a lot of ways, not so much in others, but it's in the state of turmoil, but also economic rebirth. There's a lot of money pouring into this small Mississippi town, and no one's completely honest about where that money's coming from. But Marshall returns, and he gets involved with two different cases. One, there's an archaeologist who's found murdered at a construction site, and I should preface this by saying this town is being controlled by a very select group of very powerful, rich men. Max Matheson is kind of the patriarch of this group, but they're called the Bienville Poker Club. And there's a lot of money and a lot of power circulating in this club. They're kind of at the heart of this economic rebirth. But this archaeologist is found murdered, and Marshall is taking it upon himself to get to the bottom of it. And in the midst of this, this patriarch, this Max Matheson, his wife is found murdered in her bed, and Max is the only one who was there to witness it. So he's, you know, stands accused. So Marshall, along with his ex-girlfriend, high school sweetheart, who's actually, in a way, now married into this powerful family.
Freudian slip?
Yeah, I don't know. No. I'm not spoiling anything. But they start to investigate these murders, and again, it's a winding trail that leads to some very powerful people, and maybe even back to Washington, D.C. itself. So Greg writes big books, but the writing is so silky smooth and smart, and the characters are great. So I really do think this is a great entry point for anyone who's unfamiliar with it. It's kind of like a Southern Gothic. Lainey, your favorite word, and I like to use it, Faulknerian in Gothic. Just very atmospheric and paints a really fully fleshed out picture of the American South. And then, you know, the money at play for, you know, economic development in any small town or developing town, and who's really pulling the strings there. Let me see if I have any amazing quotes. I have this great book list. I'm going to keep it short. This book list starred review when reviewing the Natchez Burning trilogy. This trilogy is destined to become a classic of literary crime fiction. I think that positions it pretty well. So, again, go check out the Natchez Burning trilogy, and then be sure to check out Cemetery Road, which is coming March 19th of next year. So that's it for the Chris spree.
All right. The V spree. Only has one. I'm not spreeing. I'm spraying. I ran into David Heistel is Greg Iles' editor, and I ran into him yesterday, and he is just absolutely lovely and so heartfelt and eloquent and brilliant. And you know, he sent out an email a couple of days ago, I guess, about Cemetery Road, and just how excited he is about this, and how he feels that this, I could find it and pull it up and read it to you, but I mean, essentially, he just feels like this is, he loves it. When David Heise loves something, my ears perk up. He says it's Shakespearean. I mean, it's very grand and sweeping and epic. But at its heart is, as Chris said, this man who's coming home and everything's turned upside down. I just love David Heifel. I respect him so much as an editor and as a person. And when he speaks, I listen. And it's just really, we're excited to have the book. Okay. excuse me. Tony's Wife by Adriana Trigiani. Perhaps you've heard of her. She's a little shy thing. That is not true. Adriana Trigiani is the most wonderful, most jovial. When she walks into her room, if there's no electricity left, don't worry about it. She will light it up.
Never met her, but she walked into the office the other day, and I was in a meeting in another room, but I saw her out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, isn't that Adriana?
Yeah.
That's how she carries a spirit with her.
She does. You're right, Lainey. She's really wonderful. That's who she is in her books, and that's how she is in person. She just truly does. She's magnetic. She's huge following of readers who just adore her. We adore her. I adore her personally, as well as her wonderful works. I was so excited. I'm sorry, Random House, but when she came over from Random House, I was so excited. Because I remember being at a book fair years ago, and she was at the booth, at the Random House booth, and I was like, oh, I hope one day she comes over to Harper, and she did. And it was so much fun, because we had so much fun with her, and we'd take her around, and she was just a blast. Did I talk about the book? No. Tony's Wife. Okay. This is actually going on sale fairly soon, November 20th, and this is, you guessed it, another big, sweeping, epic, multi-family, multi-generational Italian saga. This is her 14th novel. This is set in 1940s big band era, which I think is going to be super fun for her fans. This is at the heart of this thing is, novel is these two, working class kids who meet in New Jersey, and they both want to be singers. They both want to be in that scene. It's the 1940s, and we meet Cici Donatelli and Saverio Armandonata, who ends up changing his name, but his father's not too happy about that. So they meet in the Jersey Shore right before World War II, and she is an ambitious singer-songwriter and working in a blouse factory, and she's looking for her big break. He is already a singer. He's fronting a touring band. He's smooth. You know, he's good-looking, he's smooth, she's sharp. And when they meet, they fall in love, and they complement each other very well in their journey and in their, you know, they're trying to make it. And together, what they bring to the table helps them succeed. So this is their story, and they do make it, and they are, you know, navigating, you know, before they know it, they're doing the nightclubs, and they're doing radio and TV, and this book takes you from Jersey to Hollywood and New York City and California, and then to Italy, because this is, as they say, the core of this are these very traditional families at a time when, you know, things are starting to change. And these kids don't want to do what the parents want them to do. They want to be stars. And so there's a lot of friction. There's a lot of traditional Italian, and then they're nonconformists. And so, she brings you through this whole big band circuit, and, the 20th century, basically the whole, you're hearing these wonderful songs of that era. the big band era, and they're doing their recordings, and they're on the Ed Sullivan Show and the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and so it's that. But of course, you know, they're also riding high on that, but they are, as time goes on, they have to make decisions. They have to make decisions about, you know, one of, they're going to, you know, have a baby. They have a baby. They're, what are they going to do about this? How are they going to work that into their very busy lives? And who's going to make some sacrifices, and who's going to keep on going? So that's where the story takes a turn. But again, at the core of it is family, and how she, despite things that may or may not happen, still remains his wife, because they love each other. But they, so I won't say anything more than that. You'll need to read the book. But she just, you know, she does storytelling. She does family. She does family so well, because she has a great ear. She comes from a big family, and she just knows what she's talking about. And she's a great writer, and she's a terrific promoter. So if you could ever get around to seeing Adriana Trigiani, meeting her, get a book signed, hear her talk, do it, because you won't forget her. She's fantastic. So that's Tony's Wife by Adriana Trigiani. It's the big band era of the 1940s and World War II. And what happens to those two? They try and become stars. And that's the last thing I'm going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Officially.
Officially. So I have the next two. So the first one I want to talk about is 99% Mine by Sally Thorne. This is really big news for all of the fans of The Hating Game by Sally, who was her debut novel, and this is her second one. It's just as lovely. If you're a fan of The Hating Game, you know, you love Sally. She has great characters. They have really great development. I mean, it's also steamy, because it is a romance, but you get to know the characters so well, and I don't know. I love The Hating Game, so I was really excited about 99% Mine, and it delivered. In this story, it's a little different, whereas The Hating Game was two people, two rivals, kind of falling in love. This one is the opposite. So it follows Darcy Barrett, and she has met her dream man when she was 8 years old. But also, she has a twin brother, and they met Tom, who she loves. They both met him at the same time, and then her twin brother decided they were going to be best friends. So she kind of lost Tom to her brother. And as they've grown up and gone in and out of relationships and other family problems, she's still kind of held on to him, but lived her whole life. She's a photographer, but she's kind of going through a slump, so she's working back at her hometown, and she's a bartender. But then her grandmother passes away and leaves her house to Darcy and her brother Jamie, and with the instructions that she has to renovate this house, flip it, and then sell it. They can't just sell it without renovating it. So, of course, Tom, the person who's going to renovate everything, comes in, and she gets to see him for the first time in a long time. So she's decided that she's going to win back at least 99% of him, and her brother can keep the 1%. It's really fun. Like I said, it is different because they've known each other and they've kind of loved each other in a different way throughout their lives. But you really get to know Darcy, and, I mean, seeing her come such a high point in her life and then kind of go down into this slump that she's in, it's, I guess a lot of people will resonate with that, like understanding how to get out of your hometown, how to get out of this job that you don't know if that's what you want to do. It's so fun, and Sally's great. She's on Twitter and all the social media, and she likes to talk to people. If you want to read an excerpt, Cosmo revealed the cover, and they have an excerpt online, so you should check that out. Also, the book is going to have a PS section and a library hardcover edition, but in the paperback, there's a PS section. It's going to have two deleted scenes from the book, and then and added stuff to the epilogue, so you have to check that out. If you don't know The Hating Game and you're a fan of, like, Sophie Kinsella or JoJo Moyes, this is a good title to go to after them. It's very delightful and fun. That's 99% Mine by Sally Thorne. And then the last book, officially, that I'm going to talk about. I don't even know where to start. It's such a great book. So this is The Adventures of Barry and Joe. And I've said this, and I'll say it again, it's the love, the bromance that we didn't know we needed. So Adam Reed is a writer and director. He has an award-winning film, Hello Lonesome. And he started a Kickstarter after the 2016 election, and he wanted to make kind of a fun graphic novel, but TV series put into one. And it's the story of a young Barry, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, and they travel through time. And they have the ultimate bromance, so they're going to go save the world. And they go back inside their younger bodies to change history. And they also have a guide, which is none other than Neil deGrasse Tyson. He comes in augmented reality to show them what to do. And they meet people from the past, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, all the greats. And really, it's just a story of hope. So this is part graphic novel, part novelization of his Kickstarter that has 1,700 subscribers, so everybody wants to see this. I think a lot of people are a little sad and want to go back to two people who they know and love, and it's just so fun. Jennifer has up on Facebook the image of the cover, and you just automatically get sucked in. It's so fun. If you're a fan of The Daily Show or The Onion, this is the audience for this, so really silly. But also playing on your love of two iconic characters in pop culture and political culture.
There's a website, right, that he has all his...
It's like, the Kickstarter campaign. Oh, so okay. If you just look up The Adventures of Barry and Joe, okay, it'll come up. And you can see the art from the TV series. He did a little intro for that. Obviously, it's Kickstarter, so he's trying to get money to finish it, but the book will be the story behind what they're doing in the series. So... You'll get to read all about their adventures in augmented reality.
That's hilarious. It's so cute.
Yeah.
All right, so that takes care of the official books. We just wanted to...
The gown. That you referenced Jennifer Rossum earlier. The gown. So anyone who has watched the Netflix hit The Crown, as well as, you know, the royal family is always in the news, and there's always a following with Harry and Meghan Markle. And Jennifer Austin does great historical fiction novelization closely based on real historical fact. And I love novels that touch base on the people who are just slightly behind the scenes of momentous occasions in history. And that's kind of what this is. So Jennifer Austin wrote Somewhere in France. And this is a historical novel about one of the most famous wedding dresses in the 20th century, Queen Elizabeth's wedding gown, and the people who made it. So... it's a dual storyline where you're in London in 1947 and England, you know, basically everyone just barely survived World War II and they're in this really harsh winter and, you know, despite it being post-war Britain and, you know, escaping that whole horrendous, you know, ordeal, there's still rationing and horrible shortages and people are living hard lives and they need some glimmer of hope. And the... that hope comes in the form of Princess Elizabeth's wedding. And you follow really two women, Anne Hughes and Miriam Dassin, who are embroiderers who are tasked with helping construct this extravagant, beautiful wedding dress for this event that everyone is looking towards, you know, as the kind of their glimmering hope and light in this really gray circumstance. You kind of follow these two women, you know, the pressure and what they're dealing with in their own lives as they're, you know, they find themselves suddenly, you know, involved in this huge, huge event. And then you flash forward to 2016, and you have this young woman who's trying, she discovers a set of embroidered flowers, which is this legacy from her late grandmother, who she didn't know much about, and who never really spoke about her old life in Britain, and she's trying to get to the bottom of, you know, what is Hernan's relationship to these embroidered flowers, what's her relationship to this, you know, Princess Elizabeth's wedding and her gown. And it takes you all over, but I think it's really, again, character-driven. I love these two women who are, you know, again, find themselves in something far bigger than they could have ever imagined. And great, for anyone who loves the royal family, this is going to be a complete treat. did not mean to rhyme, but there you have it. It's coming December 31st, so not too far away. And again, in the meantime, Jennifer has a really great backlist with Somewhere in France and Goodnight from London. Just a really talented author. I have a great Kate Quinn quote, again, full circle here, who Alice Network and the upcoming The Huntress. Jennifer Robson embroiders life, friendship, and hope into the somber gray world of post-war London. The gown is marvelous and moving, a vivid portrait of female self-reliance in a world racked by the cost of war. Great quote, and again, just think that gives you an idea of what this novel's about. So that's The Gown by Jennifer Robson. I think that is officially the last book in our official list.
Officially.
Yeah.
But we have three kind of gifty books, because the holidays are coming up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about that. And actually, I sent
Jennifer
a few inside spreads, so hopefully she can put a few of those up when we're talking about them. Where do we want to start?
What's up on there?
We might be a little delayed in time, Jennifer.
Yes, you tell me what you want and I'll do it.
She's riveted by our work.
All right, well, I'll start with one. We just came out with Patti Smith's Just Kids Illustrated Edition. So several years ago, she wrote Just Kids, huge, critically acclaimed, rave reviews, tons of awards. This is that book, but it's a full-color edition. So now it's richly illustrated with new material and never-before-seen photographs. This is her coming-of-age memoir. I don't know if it's up there or not, but
yes,
it literally just came out. I think it went on sale this Tuesday. It was just this past Tuesday. It is so beautiful. It's got postcards from Robert Mapplethorpe to her. It's got a ton of photographs of the two of them. Pictures of down at the Chelsea Hotel where they lived. This was some book. And then to get this added material is really quite the gift. And so if you are a Patti Smith fan or know someone who is, I highly suggest you check out Just Kids, the illustrated edition, on sale now.
Fantastic. And then we briefly mentioned To Kill a Mockingbird graphic novel.
Maybe exciting news.
Yeah, so it's officially voted, I want to get the terminology right for this, it's America's most
best loved
book, novel. This is the PBS's Great American Read.
Yep.
4.2 million books.
That's fabulous.
And I think we had, I don't know the exact number, we had several in the top 25.
Yeah,
we
did.
But that's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
Everybody loves that book, and we're actually taking the book into this the new age, because we have a graphic novel coming out called To Kill a Mockingbird, a graphic novel. Fred Fordham from the UK is going to illustrate it, and it's really beautiful. I sent a few spreads in, but you can go online at Edelweiss, your librarian, and look at a few spreads. It's just a classic story, but told through his eyes. I think it's going to bring a lot of people who maybe are turned off to reading in general. Maybe if they see a graphic novel, they'll get to more excited about it, but it's going to bring a whole new readership in, and really pretty kind of dark pictures that are really rich, and it's exciting.
Yeah, that was wonderful news for us, and not surprised.
No.
I'm very happy.
And two other books.
And then the last book, Lainey.
Jennifer, did you say something?
I'm sorry, I was going to say two other. I have the full list here. And two other books that you mentioned earlier today, Anne of Green Gables and Then There Were None, are also on.
Oh, yeah, you're
list.
Right.
And a lot of the books on the list are probably in public domain, even.
Yeah, so, like Jane Eyre, Moby Dick, that they used our edition,
right.
But they are public domain.
Yeah, so to have one of
your
titles that you still have.
Chronicles of Narnia, we have Charlotte's Web. It goes on.
Yeah,
website, you can see Great American Read and check them all out, PBS.
Yeah, so I think it's a really good testament to your publishing company.
Yeah. So one last book, Lainey, you want to talk about it? There it is. Bring it on home, Lainey.
Last book
Do we need a drum roll? Do we have a drum roll?
We must.
We must have a drum roll.
Hindsight, we could have a drum roll.
We do.
One more drum roll. Those are two separate sound machines. Wow.
I don't know how I'm going to top that intro. But the last book is Hindsight by Justin Timberlake. You've probably seen it. He's been giving little glimpses on his social media. And also he has an insane amount of likes on one picture when he revealed the cover. This is a book about his creative processes and how music comes to him. It's really cool and beautiful. The pictures are in there. I mean, NSYNC was my first concert, so I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan. I mean, I remember the happy days when my two favorite artists, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, were together forever. And then the devastation when they broke up. But I love him. I love him anyway, like the teen bopper, like love anyway from NSYNC, but he's from Memphis, which is really close to my hometown, and so we always knew about him, and I loved him then, but then as he grew as an artist, he became kind of like a triple threat. Like, he is a singer and dancer, but he also is so funny. He's on SNL and Jimmy Fallon all the time, and they have a bromance, which is in the book, too. I'm excited for it.
That's great. That's really sweet. Oh, my God. It's going to sell like crazy. So that's Hindsight. And what's the on-sale date? Do we know? Christopher, look it up on
I want to say November.
I believe you are right. It is November. No, lies. October 30th. Ooh, even closer. Nice.
So next week, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So those are all the books that we have to talk about. One last thing that we should mention is that tomorrow at 10:30 on Library Love Fest, if you're on Facebook, we're doing a Facebook Live through Library Love Fest. So if you like our page, or just go to our page and at 10:30, and you can see the three of us giving a spooktacular presentation of titles. We hope that you can take the time, because we will talk about some of these books, but a lot of different books as well, so not a lot of repeats. So
you'll get to see our smiling faces, with our voices. That'd be nice.
Sniffly voices.
Voices.
Maybe a little less sniffly.
We're all a little cloggy. We've all been running out of room and blowing, and then coming back. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was really terrific, and I definitely want you to come back when your summer catalog is ready, because I definitely stocked them on Edelweiss, and I spent like 2 hours reading it last week, and I'm like, oh, I have to read this, I have to read that. So please come back soon. And okay. I want all.
You know, you don't have to tell us twice. We'll take you up on it.
Yeah, and for all our listeners, check out Library Love Fest. They are on SoundCloud. They have a podcast. They're on Twitter. They tons of social media. Book Studio Live. They do streams once a month or so. More than once a month, I think. They do author interviews. So they're very, very social people. So, again, it's Library Love Fest, and thanks so much for listening. And thank you all for taking the time out. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So once again, I want to thank Chris Laney and Virginia from Library Love Fest, and I want to thank the Big C for making the streaming possible from afar, and Jim Thatch for graciously bowing out. The stream will be up on hclibrary.us on our Facebook page in the next few hours. So thank you for listening. I'm going to play some of the commercials I missed during this broadcast. And remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After at least 10 suspicious packages containing apparent pipe bombs are mailed to some high-profile Democrats as well as CNN, the nation's top law enforcement official says,
across the administration, we condemn the actions that led to these activities in the strongest possible terms and are determined to make sure that we get to the bottom of it and justice is done.
That's Attorney General Jeff Sessions speaking this morning. Reports are two packages were found that were addressed to former Vice President Joe Biden in Delaware today. And another report says a suspected device sent to former CIA Chief John Brennan contained a parody image of an ISIS flag. Megyn Kelly's reportedly leaving NBC after backlash over remarks she makes defending blackface. And this is USA Radio News.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there, I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers,
help,
high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece, That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccines subject to availability. State age and health-related restrictions may apply.
Saudi Arabia's public prosecutor has for the first time said publicly that journalist Jamal Khashoggi's murder early this month was premeditated. The evidence for it coming from a joint Saudi-Turkish task force that continues to investigate the death of that Saudi dissident. Saudi Arabia had initially denied all knowledge of the writer's whereabouts after he went missing. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman saying yesterday of the case,
"It is a heinous crime that cannot be justified."
The prince there speaking through an interpreter. Khashoggi's body has not yet been found. The focus ahead of Monday's sixth anniversary of Superstorm Sandy in the Northeast is on better storm preparations and resiliency. In Manhattan, officials are joining advocates at a